Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. It is Thursday, the 5th day of January, 2023. Welcome in, everybody, to the Todd Albaugh Show, along with the host, but along with our engineer and producer, all-around great guy, Mr. Aaron Zommers. Aaron, we got a little snow here last night in Madison.
Yeah, we did. Not too bad, though.
Yeah,
driving was fine and everything, yeah. At least for me.
Yeah, it was for me, too. The roads are pretty good. Our snow here pales. And I mean pales. I mean, we might have gotten a quarter inch, maybe. But up in Amory area in northwest Wisconsin, some of those folks got 12 or 15 inches of snow up in that area.
Oof.
Now, that is a snow event right there. So certainly thinking of all those people up in Amory still digging out, people around the listening area up there. Drive carefully if you have to be on the roads today. I know many of the schools and whatnot are closed, but be careful if you have to drive today around Wisconsin. I went home yesterday a little early. It worked from home, basically, and I needed just time to rest my voice. Still getting over from this COVID and sinus infection, what have you. But I turned on the show that was yesterday and the show that will continue today of speaker to be or want to be Kevin McCarthy in the U.S. House of Representatives. And what an absolute show it is. maybe funny, yes, to a certain degree. It's certainly entertaining. To watch all these people kind of go at it. But what's fascinating for me is to watch Kevin McCarthy over the last couple of days kind of backslapping people and yucking it up to, by the time he got to the fifth vote yesterday, not much of a smile. Pretty serious dude. And then the sixth ballot lost again. So they took a recess and then they came back or are supposed to come back to the floor at 11 o'clock our time, high noon, in Washington, D.C. We'll talk about that just a little bit later. So we got that coming up. We have some cool stories. At 8:30 this morning, we have our good friend Jason Hafeman coming in today to talk a little Packers. A day in by local as well, but predominantly Packers today. As the Packers, of course, are in the big playoff game, or essentially a playoff game, last regular season game of the year, coming up on Friday. So Jason will be in at 8:30 to give us some insight on what we can expect. And also take a little credit, because when everyone else was saying that the Packers were toast, when they were whatever, 4-8 or whatever they were, Jason was predicting that they would be right here, right now.
He was holding on to his hope. He had a feeling in his gut.
You know, a guy like that should have his own radio show about the Packers. Oh, wait.
Yeah, that'd be pretty neat.
He does, along with his brother, right here on Friday night. So we will talk a little bit about that. Looking forward to having Jason on the program at 8:30 this morning. Also taking your phone calls throughout the program as well. We'll talk a little bit what's happening in the House. Give you an update as well on this immigration matter we've brought up several times of Republican governors sending non-documented or undocumented folks to sanctuary cities. Well, now a Democratic governor is also doing it. And we'll talk about that as well later on today in the show. And, of course, taking your calls. A little weather forecasting for you around the state of Wisconsin today in the RC area, Richland Center, WRCE. Expect a high near 34 today. Snow on and off throughout the day. 90% chance of snow. Less than a half an inch of accumulation if possible, though. So not a big snow event in southwest Wisconsin today. Tonight, then, mostly cloudy, a low near 18 degrees. Tomorrow, Friday, mostly sunny and a high near 28. Yes, the sun, remember that big orange or yellow orb? It's coming back tomorrow. Looking forward to nervous anticipation. Today in Wausau, WXCO, Bull Falls Radio. Expect a high near 30 degrees today. Snow likely mixed with freezing drizzle before noon. So watch it if you're going to be on the roads this morning. Total daytime snow accumulations, again, less than a half an inch possible of accumulation. It's going to be that kind of freezing rain the way it's been a lot of places the last 2-3 days where it kind of rains and drizzles, and then where it's exposed and there's no salt or it's too cold for salt, that's when it gets slick. So you can be driving along, everything's fine, and all of a sudden you hit one of these patches, and that's where it gets dicey, so be careful with that. Tonight in Wausau, a slight chance of snow before 8 p.m., then a chance of flurries, a low near 13 degrees, and tomorrow in Wausau, again the sun, and a high near 23. And in beautiful Amory, WXCE, Lake Air Radio, where you are digging out, and we feel you. 22 degrees today. A little bit more snow likely, less than a half an inch possible. Temperatures will be falling to 22 degrees today in Amory. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low near 3. And tomorrow, Friday, some patchy freezing fog before 7 and 9 p.m. Then partly sunny, so a little sunny even in Amory tomorrow, and a high near 17 degrees. So if we can make it through one more day, that's all we're saying. One more day of this kind of drizzly, dreary, wintry weather. And at least we'll see the sun tomorrow. I'm one of those people, I'd rather have it be 10 degrees and sunny than 37 degrees and drizzly. I don't like the cold rain, especially when it freezes on the roads. It's that temperature, that dampness just goes right through me. So I am looking forward to some sun. Looking forward to some news headlines as well. So stay with us. We're going to take a quick break and be back with what you need to know for a Thursday, the 5th of January, 2023. Back with more after this. You're listening to the Tom Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back to the Tom Allball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network. Little John Philip Sousa, nicely done, Mr. Zommers. You would think it would be Inauguration Day. Well, it was Inauguration Day over the weekend, or on the 3rd. Certainly Inauguration Day in Madison, where the governor was sworn in, Governor Tony Evers, along with the Attorney General and the state legislature. But out in Washington, D.C., the Senate got sworn in. They did their business. But over the House of Representatives, that's still not the case. Let's tell you what you need to know, and then we'll get more into it, and we'll take your phone calls as well. If you want to dial in and get in the queue, please feel free to go ahead and do that. The telephone number you can dial in is 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. What you need to know on the 5th of January, House Republicans are scrambling to end a stalemate over Representative Kevin McCarthy's speakership bid yesterday. McCarthy lost a 6th round of voting for House Speaker and proposed more key concessions in his push to get to 218 votes. The 218 votes, including agreeing to propose a rule change that would allow just one member to call a vote to oust a sitting speaker. The House is set to reconvene today in hope of electing the speaker, but voting could stretch into the weekend. Until the standoff is resolved, much of the functioning of the chamber will remain paused and little legislating will take place. The standstill also means Republicans have to keep waiting before tackling some of their most pressing priorities, including investigations into President Joe Biden's administration and his family.
Wait, wasn't it going to be 5 members, or was that saying 5 is all it takes to get rid of them?
They've changed it over. Sources or people reporting that, according to people familiar with the talks, as they say, Kevin McCarthy has agreed to bring it down to 1. So
why would you do that?
Because you're so desperate to be speaker, that you're so desperate for power, you do that. But at that point, really, what power do you have? When literally every single member of the Republican caucus is the speaker at that point.
Yeah, you just say, all right, I am speaker. And they're like, okay, yes, you are. Okay, no, you're not anymore.
Such is life. We'll talk about that in just a bit. Continuing on with other news headlines and what you need to know today, a bomb cyclone is slamming the California coast, causing widespread flooding, mudslides, and power outages. The storm's heaviest rains and strongest winds have wreaked havoc in the Bay Area, while Central California continues to face hurricane-force gusts. Forecasters show rainfall rates in some areas could exceed 1 inch per hour today, which could unleash even more flooding across the already saturated region hit with a different storm that brought deadly floods just last weekend. California Governor Gavin Newsom issued a statewide emergency declaration on Wednesday as nearly 2,000 homes and businesses in California remain without power this morning. From the Vatican, Pope Francis led the funeral of former Pope Benedict XVI at St. Peter's Square in the Vatican earlier today, in an occasion attended by tens of thousands of mourners. The funeral marked an unprecedented moment, as it was the first occasion in modern times that a pontiff had presided over the funeral of his predecessor. Benedict was elected pope in April of 2005, following Pope John Paul II's death, and was the first pontiff in almost 600 years to resign from his position rather than hold office for life. He died at age 95 last month. He was known to be more conservative than his successor, Pope Francis, who has made moves to soften the Vatican's position on abortion and homosexuality, as well as doing more to deal with the sexual abuse crisis that has engulfed the church in recent years and tarnished Benedict's legacy. As Russia's war against neighboring Ukraine grinds into its 10th month, the U.S. is now considering sending armored fighting vehicles to assist Ukrainian forces, while France said it will also send light armored combat vehicles. The Western-style tanks will be, quote, very important in order to restore security for all Ukrainians and peace for all Europeans, according to Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky. Meanwhile, Russian President Vladimir Putin has dispatched one of his country's most modern warships armed with heavy hypersonic missiles that travel more than five times the speed of sound, making them hard to detect and intercept. Quote, I'm sure that such powerful weapons will reliably protect Russia from potential external threats and will help ensure the national interests of our country, Putin said on the deployment via state media, without specifically mentioning the war in Ukraine. Tech layoffs. Amazon has become the latest tech giant to announce significant layoffs. According to a memo from CEO Andy Jassy, shared with employees, Amazon plans to lay off more than 18,000 employees as the global economic outlook continues to worsen. The tech sector, which initially ramped up hiring during the pandemic, has since had to confront changing consumer habits as people return to their offline lives. At the same time, the industry has been pummeled by a seemingly perfect storm of economic factors over the past year, including rising interest rates, looming recession fears, and consumer and business rethinking expenses. This comes as Facebook parent Meta recently announced 11,000 job cuts, the largest in the company's history. Twitter also announced widespread job cuts after Elon Musk bought the company for $44 billion. Salesforce this week also said it would cut 10% of its sales staff. So the Amazon bubble finally, with all the Amazon trucks I see, with all the people buying Amazon, it just seems, do they really need to cut 18,000 people? Or is it just that Amazon wants to have even more profits? That is a distinct possibility.
I'm thinking that it's not just a possibility, but incredibly likely. Anybody who runs a shareholder-driven company is incentivized to pump the numbers really high and then jump out.
Yep. So we shall see. But certainly feel bad for all those folks from Amazon who are going to be or have been laid off. This Kevin McCarthy story, just to get back to that before we take a break here at the bottom of the hour, have Jason Hafeman come in and join us and talk about Packers. But as this top story we read just moments ago said, I want to take a minute to dive into this. And as Aaron pointed out, this is where we're at. We talked yesterday with Trigvi Olsen from Project Lincoln about this. Kevin McCarthy has wanted to be speaker for most of the last decade or more, and has positioned himself to be so. And now he finds himself in a place where essentially between 7 and 20 people are standing in his way. So yes, according to reports overnight, Kevin McCarthy has agreed to make it a 5-member threshold to simply a 1 that could call for a leadership or a speakership election change, a vote of no confidence. We're really getting into British Parliament territory at this point. And also, he made a lot of other, or several other concessions on the powers of the speaker. And some people might argue that, well, this is good for democracy, small d, because it means that everybody kind of has an equal amount of power or close to it. But in order to have a body like the House of Representatives work, the person in charge has to have a certain amount of ability to control the chamber. Look at Nancy Pelosi. There were certainly people in her party that didn't necessarily like her. She literally ran that chamber with an iron gavel. Nancy Pelosi was in charge. But look at how much they accomplished. Whether or not you agree with her accomplishments or not, that's one thing. But look at the amount of bills that she got by or got passed. Look at, we didn't have a government shutdown. We weren't going through the holidays in Congress trying to get things passed. Nancy Pelosi knew how to get things done. The same could be said, maybe not quite as effectively, but also about Newt Gingrich, the Republican speaker, in the early and mid-90s. Newt ran that chamber. And again, whether we agree with it or not, he got several things passed. Because when you're in charge of a legislative body, you've always had a diverse group of folks. Now, even more so. Because it's become extreme within the parties. So in order, the old saying, kind of like herding cats. It's not a fun job, quite frankly, to be a leader. It's time-consuming. Because you're constantly dealing with all these different personalities. And you're trying to appease several different egos. And so for the body itself to function and to work, you have to have a leader that has a certain amount of power to control these people. Not in a way that, I'm going to tell you how to vote necessarily. But I'm just talking about, hey, get too far out of line and you're not going to be on such and such a committee. I can take the funding away from you for staff. So not that those things are done that often, but it's the threat that they could be done. And this allows the leader of whichever body to keep the actual institution running on time. And so now you're having a situation where Kevin McCarthy is giving away all of these chits, all this power, all these tools. So even if he does survive, and I'm not so sure that he's going to yet, what apparently these latest concessions have done, the conventional wisdom, if you believe that today, is that when they go to the floor today at 11 o'clock our time, noon in D.C., that it will go from 20 opposed McCarthy votes down to maybe 12 or even 8 or 9. But also the conventional wisdom is there are at least 5 to 9 people that are never McCarthy people, never Keviners. So he's going to give away the store to pick up 10 votes, maybe. But he can only lose 4. And the conventional wisdom is those last 5 to 9 folks are never going to go over. So in the meantime, you've given away all your power. So even if by some miracle you become Speaker Kevin McCarthy, who'd want it? Just for the title? You get a very nice office, I'll say that. And more staff. And as Trygve Olsen pointed out yesterday, once you leave the speakership as speaker, once your staff leaves as staff to the speaker, you're all assured of very nice plum lobbying jobs and corporate jobs and that sort of thing.
But does that count if you're Speaker of the House for 2 days before somebody calls a motion to replace you?
Wonderful point, Aaron. Wonderful point. Probably not. I would say you probably need to be a speaker at least a year for that to be true. So, I don't know. Has Kevin McCarthy given away everything for just a title? It's going to be very interesting to see. House goes back to the floor at noon today. Hopefully, get things ironed out. Because in the meantime, nothing can be done in Congress. They're not actually sworn in. Back with Jason Hafeman after this. Talk Packers. You'll listen to the Todd Allball Show on Civic Media. That's for sure. Holy smokeroses. That was my request with Jason Hafeman here, our next guest here on the Todd Allball Show. Is that what you listen to in the morning when you wake up?
That's what I listen to anytime, Todd. But the song is called Put You Down. And so many people were putting the Packers down weeks ago. And look where they are now. Look.
Indeed. Jason Hafeman, the co-host with his brother of Packer Outright Opinions every Friday at night. Right here in Civic Media from 7 to 8 p.m.
In Richland Center.
Yes. On WRCE.
And on WXCE.
Yeah, WXCO. You're everywhere.
As many places as we can be all at once. That's where we try to be, Todd. You bet.
I want to start out by giving you credit because there were very few people when the Green Bay Packers were 4-8 that thought they had a chance. But my office mate, Jason Hafeman, was saying this, I can attest, weeks ago. So the Packers are in essentially a one-game playoff to get into the playoff this Sunday night on NBC to get in the playoff. So, Jason, congratulations. You called this.
Let me just explain. It wasn't just blind faith either. You know, what I looked at was, okay, yes, some things were... There were some positive signs. There were some things that didn't go well. There were some things that were improving. And then there were some things that if the Packers did right and decided to run the ball more and decided to do some certain changes to their defensive approach, that I could see them improving and them winning games. Okay. The other side of the coin was all the teams that were in front of them in the NFC had a lot of tough games left on their schedule. So they had played kind of the easier part of their schedules to get to those records, and I knew some of them were going to crash and burn down the stretch. So it went hand in hand. You looked at the possibility of that schedule for those teams, and then you looked at the possibility if the Packers could pull it together, and here they are. Win one home game at Lambeau Field against Detroit, which hasn't won in Lambeau Field in like 20-some years. Now, they're a much different team this year. They're doing pretty well. But that's all you got to do when you're in the playoffs. It's crazy, right?
Other than maybe you and Wayne Larrabee and Larry McCarron, I don't know too many people that looked at all that and said what you just said. I mean, because there's a certain amount of, people don't know. I mean, you're not just hosting this show as a fair weather fan or somebody who goes to games and has. I mean, Jason actually follows this. He breaks it down with his brother. They know this stuff inside out. In fact, there is a thought, a line of thought that had you and your brother actually run the Packers, they might be in a very different position overall than they are now the last 5 years.
Yes, there was a very short-lived and small petition that went around for that. Got, I think, 5 votes. Nice. And it didn't take hold. But yeah, I mean, the thing is, look, like, we're probably almost too aware of some of the things, Todd, you know, like casual fans are annoyed by us, but like we look at all of these things and we also give our opinions a lot based on what we see and then based on the potential of what we see. So oftentimes you're watching a game, right? And you can see things that go well and you see things that don't go well and you wonder, oh, well, why did they do that in that situation? And there have been a lot of those questions for the Packers on their defense and their offense here this year. We're like, well, why did they do that? On 3rd and 2, why did they throw it 40 yards downfield? And why were 3 receivers running 20-yard-plus patterns downfield when you need 2 yards? And that's a great question, you know? Yes. And I would love to ask the coach that question and the quarterback that question if I had an opportunity to, and that's what we're trying to build towards. But you see those things. You see defensive approaches. You're like, okay, it's 3rd and 5. Why are defensive backs starting 10 yards back and then their first step is backwards? That's another great question. Please explain to me, like, do you want to stop the other team from getting the first down and get the ball back? Or are you just trying to not give up a touchdown in this one play? Like, please explain your approach because it drives me a little nuts watching the game sometimes. But the point is, some of those things have come along. And a huge spark that no one saw except it was a big misstep for the Packers early in the season, which was not utilizing Keyshawn Nixon on returns.
Look what happened.
That guy is amazing,
105 yard return last week.
The first kickoff return for a touchdown by the Packers in, I think, 4 years, I believe, or 3 years at least. And his, you know, everyone saw the struggles with Amari Rodgers punt returning, right?
Yeah.
All of last season, and then they were just determined. He was our guy for punt returns. He was going to be the punt returner. Even though he kept struggling, he just looked uncomfortable. You know, he looked like he was afraid to catch the ball. He looked like he was unsure of himself. It just wasn't a good fit. And here you had a guy on the team that has so much confidence in his hands, has great vision, ability to just take off, and you waited that many weeks to finally put him in that position. It seems like there's this stubbornness by the Packers coaches. I don't know if it's a GM thing, coach thing, what it is, but they make decisions on players. Things aren't working out, but they're determined to make that work.
Yeah.
Rather than saying, what do these guys do well? And let's get the best guys in the best spots for them. And sometimes that's what we talk about a lot. It's frustrating. And we point it out and we vent. And then sometimes we're right.
Certainly, more right than not, quite frankly. Talking to the co-host of Packer Outright Opinions here on the Civic Media every Friday night, 7 to 8, Jason Hafeman. I want to talk a little bit, but I guess the question is, it seems like the Packers have kind of figured some of these things out. Because it seems like the last 2-3 weeks, it's not just they fell into, you know, a lucky game. They've all a couple. But it seems like overall, they seem to be moving in the right direction. So what is that? Is it LaFleur or whoever has figured this out? Gutekunst has made some decisions. Why now? Why the last four games of the season they pull it together?
You know, I listened to a bit of a less dialed-in radio program yesterday. I'm not going to name names. right. But, you know, these hosts had like this pie chart, and they made like a pie chart of who is most responsible for the Packers' turnaround. And they were giving the most credit to Aaron Rodgers, which if you look at how he's played and you look at the impact of the offense on most of these games, how they've basically been assisted by the special teams and the defense over and over again to win the game, I don't understand that assessment. Mm-hmm. To me, it's a couple of things, Todd. Okay, the Packers are running the ball more, which I talked about for weeks. And I don't know how you can... It can be any more clear, and this is why it drives me a little batty with football coaches who analyze tape, watch every play from every game, go through all this stuff, plan throughout the week. The Packers are 8-2 in games they've run the ball 25 times or more.
Ooh.
And they are 0-6 in games they've run the ball less than 25 times. I mean, is it any easier than that? It's like, come on. It's staring you in the face. Just look at it. And the other part is they're two of the most dynamic players they have on offense, Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. And when you're not putting the ball in their hands, you're not utilizing it. The other thing is when you take that approach, you control the ball, you wear down the other team's defense, and you give your defense a break.
No, absolutely.
Big plays are great. I love big plays as much as the next guy. But more than big plays, I love me a 15-play, 78, 82-yard touchdown drive. Yes, I'll take that all day long because that is demoralizing to the other team. And that's what they've been doing more of, running the ball consistently. And then on defense, they made some changes, personnel changes, that we called for before they were made, by the way. Rudy Ford, number 20, has been on the field a bunch more. Darnell Savage is in a diminished role. That needed to happen. And Keyshawn Nixon was in at the nickelback. And Nixon and Ford were two special teams guys, and they played defense in attack mode. And the Packers did not have enough defensive guys that played in attack mode.
You mentioned the name, the esteemed quarterback, Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah. Did I? Oh,
yeah. Yes, you did. Talk on Twitter, but he was interviewed yesterday. I saw people, reporters bringing up that potentially this could be his last game at Lambeau Field. Even if the Packers make the playoffs, they're on the road unless something completely wacky happens and they end up with a home game. But most likely they'd have to continue on the road and do what they did last time they won the Super Bowl, which is win, what, 5 on the road?
Just 3.
To
get there, yeah.
3 to get there, 4 to win.
Yeah.
But he seemed pretty, like, you know, in his zen mode, like, yeah, you know, I'll be, you know, you have to kind of reflect on that. You kind of have to, you know, take that all in. I mean, so where is Mr. Rodgers? Is this his last game at Lambeau Field? Does he come back another year?
I mean, I think there are 60 million reasons for him to come back another year.
Yes. All green.
Yes. And, you know, and the other part is, he's really playing this stuff up, right? Like, yeah. It's so ironic to watch this happen the way it's happened. The way we watched Brett Favre's ending of his career in Green Bay happen, and Aaron Rodgers had a front seat for all of it, and now he's basically turned into Brett Favre. I mean,
well, let's not hope all the way, but yeah.
It's just maddening, right? To be like, come on. You know, so, but he's doing the same thing. It's the same exact situation. He's leaving it up to, I make my decision at the end of the season or sometime in the off season or, hey guys, I'll let you know somewhere before June or August or whatever. And so I don't really know. I have a feeling, and I'm going to put another one of my predictions out there. I have a feeling he's going to wait to see what Tom Brady does.
Okay.
And some people think, most people, I should say, believe that Aaron Rodgers does not want to retire the same year as Tom Brady because he doesn't want to go in the Hall of Fame with Tom Brady as his second fiddle.
Got it.
My belief is the exact opposite of that. My belief is Aaron Rodgers wants to go in the same year as Tom Brady because if that Hall of Fame class is Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, that'll be one of the most celebrated and notarized Hall of Fame classes in history. And so that would be he'll get much more play out of that right. For his lifetime and beyond than if it was Tom Brady the year before, or the year after Aaron Rodgers. So my thought is, and I know everybody tells me I'm crazy, but I'm telling you, Rodgers is all about Rodgers. So anything he can do to prop himself up, even if it's like grabbing onto Tom Brady's coattails here, I think he wants to do it. So I think he's going to wait to see what Tom Brady does, and then he's going
to
decide.
A lot of talk about Brady going to either, well, a long time to the Raiders after this season.
A bunch of places.
And
like,
also
keep playing?
New Orleans.
He's older than us, Todd. Like, how does he keep playing?
Not older than me, but close. but I mean, you can't. I mean, yeah, he's certainly older, but I mean, I'm not sure what he eats
better than us.
Does something.
And some nice skincare. Like, whatever that, I mean, I don't know what you put on there, Tommy, but it looks pretty good.
But, I mean, he's still getting it done.
Yeah, he's still.
He's still better than, you know, well over half the quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, 100%. So, he led his team back last week. They were dead in the water, and he threw them back into the game. Yeah. So, I mean, he still got it.
So you think Rodgers waits, and if Brady retires, then Rodgers is gone too?
I think so, but I don't think Brady is retiring, so I'm pretty sure Aaron Rodgers is going to be back for the money.
I mean, Tom Brady has a big divorce settlement to pay.
So, yeah, so, I yeah mean, right.
He needs the cash, too.
Play as long as someone will pay him. Yeah, I get it. Right. And I think Rodgers will be back for the money. And also, but I think the money's first. That's also in there kind of as his top priorities. And then I also think he sees how the team has progressed and thinks, man, it'll be kind of fun to play with Christian Watson next year and these young receivers that are kind of really building up. And a sneaky good pickup last week was getting Bo Melton from the Seattle Seahawks practice squad, who was a seventh-round pick who's sitting on their practice squad all season long, and they could have picked him up at any point, but they grabbed him. And he was a guy I was really urging and hoping the Packers would draft this year. They did not draft him. He is almost as fast as Christian Watson. He trained with Watson in the offseason. He actually ran a faster 40 time than Watson at the combine. But when they trained together, he was a little bit slower than him. But he ran a 4.34 at the combine. So he is 5'11", 190 pounds, 4.34. He's a great slot guy and a great pickup.
NFC playoffs, who do you like in terms of matchups, and who do you like to advance?
Well, I would love to play the Vikings at any point.
Yeah,
because I think they're very beatable.
But right now, it's probably not going to happen.
Right? I mean, who knows?
Vikings are right now in the three slot.
Right. Who knows the way this last week kind of plays out, right? I mean, NFL games are crazy. I still think, I mean, the 49ers are the toughest matchup for the Packers, for any team, actually. I think they're the best team in the NFC side. The Eagles are kind of showing some signs of weakness here. I think the 49ers are probably going to come out of it, but I think the Packers could give them a game, you know, even in San Francisco. I think the Packers, if they play it right, if they utilize the running game, if they run at them, if they hand the ball off enough, they can wear down that defense. If they pass too much and let them come after them and let their speed fly around, they're in trouble.
Now, if that's the matchup, and it happens the way you say, Green Bay beats San Francisco and the Eagles falter, Green Bay has a home game.
No, they don't, because they're the lowest seed, Todd. They are the lowest seed, so there's no way they can get a home
game.
No way. Yeah, because it reseeds, like, who's ever left, right? So highest seed left. So the point is, though, They could end up playing the Vikings. Ooh. Ooh, even at some point, I just want to play the Vikings and just beat them in the playoffs again and just, you know, poor Minnesota fans. I mean, I have some friends that are Minnesota fans. I feel bad for them a little bit. But at the same time, they usually talk a lot of crap when their team's doing well.
I get it. We're going to take a little break, come back after this, and Jason will tell us what's coming up this week on Packer Outright Opinions and also maybe talk a little Dayton by local. Stay with us. You're listening to the Tom Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. The Tyler Ball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network. Time is 8:50. That seems to be the line of most Packer fans. For several years, I want it all. I want it right now. Maybe they'll get it this year. I don't know. I mean, it seems like the years when the Packers aren't favored and aren't looked at as the sanctioned team that's going to do it all. It seems like the years that the people count them out, that's when they do the best.
Yeah, I think adversity builds character. I think it builds strength. I think it's also there's something to, you know, if a team has a lot of success throughout the season, you don't know if they're tested enough.
Yeah.
And I think that factors in whether you can answer the call when it's, you know, do you tighten up in those pressure situations in the playoffs, or do you just play loose and play your game? And I think this team has a chance to be similar to the last Super Bowl team in 2010. Now, Todd, I Want It All has been my theme song the last 12 years, but it happened, you know? Like, I really believe, like, 14, I really believe. 16, I was there, man, you know? And 12, yeah, but 11, but it didn't happen those years. But, hey, we're here 2022 season, 2023. And I think they got, they have enough. But they have to utilize their team the correct way. They got to play to their strengths. They got to stick with the run. And I think if they do that, especially like a team San Francisco, you can't play into their speed.
Right.
And you can't let those pass rushers just tee off. You know, you're in trouble.
Jason Hafeman, the co-host of Packer Outright Opinions here on Civic Media, Friday nights from 7 until 8.
This is the year, Todd.
Is our guest with us this half hour. We appreciate you joining us and listening in. Appreciate Jason being here as well. Give us a preview. Now, you do this show, for those who might not be aware, you do this with your brother. You're as a co-host as well. And it's super entertaining. I've been honored to be on the show once, and it's a lot of fun. It's very informative. It's fast-paced. What's on the show? Anything? I mean, obviously, you're going to talk about the game this year or this week, but anything else specifically on the show this week?
Well, first of all, there's going to be a lot of gloating by me since my prediction has come true. You know, that's right off the top. And because Ben has been a naysayer, you know, my brother, he's been a naysayer. So I get to rub it in, you know, really grind him about that, grind his gears a little bit. Secondly, we're going to relish in the win over the Vikings and relive a little bit of the fun from that, because nice. That's what we do. We usually recap what happened last time. And then we also give our silent but deadly players of the week from the Vikings game. Tune in to hear how that is. And then sometimes there's a beef, and I have a little bit of a beef here for this week too. So we usually have a little beef segment where we lay into some topic, Packer related or NFL related, that we put our opinion on and have a little music too. And it's fun. And then we're going to talk about what's ahead, you know, and Ben's going to have to accept and admit and say, you were right. And that is the reason to listen to Friday's show. Ben, my brother is going to have to admit that I was correct.
Who's older?
Ben.
Even better.
Yeah, of course.
But even better for your older brother to have to admit that his little brother is right.
And he's a little bit sharper than I am, and he's normally correct, you know, right on a lot of things. Like, he's a really sharp guy, especially looking at football stuff. So the fact that, you know, this is the case and the Packers have made me correct, I'm gonna use that to my advantage this week. But yeah, we'll talk about that, and we'll preview, you know, the matchup ahead. Like, the Lions are an interesting team. They've really, 1-6, they started out. Now they're 8-8. It's going to be an interesting game because they play late. They play after the Seahawks finish, and if the Seahawks win, the Lions have no chance.
Right.
Even if they win.
Which is, people are saying it's kind of a little bit of a favor to the Pack, because maybe the Lions are a little de-incentivized to play at their best.
It depends, but I would also say that team would have a lot of motivation to try to keep the Packers out. You know,
right?
So I think there's
spoiler.
Yeah, I think there's plenty of motivation for the line. I think we're gonna see a great game. The weather, you know, it's gonna be a little colder. Not really, really cold, not like normal January cold.
Right.
But Jared Goff has struggled a lot in the cold. So it'll be interesting to see how effective the Lions passing game will be.
Any predictions, or are you saving that for the show on Friday?
We'll save that for Friday. I mean, I gotta give a little more noodling on that and find all out right. What I really think. You know, I gotta check the numbers here. I know the Lions have run the ball a lot and usually pretty effectively. The Packers' run defense is not that good, but the Lions like to throw it like every other NFL team. And when you throw it, that's kind of to the Packers' advantage.
Very good. This Friday night, 7 to 8 on the Civic Media Radio Network, Packer Outright Opinions with co-host Jason Hafeman. You also host another show on Saturdays, Jason, Dane by a Local.
Yes, it's a Let's Get Local show, affiliated, connected with Dane by Local, featuring a lot of Dane by Local members. And on this show coming up this week, we're going to talk with Drew Niederkorn. We're also going to talk with a new partner of the show, Forward Tie Boxing, a new company in Madison, right below Todd's apartment, that he's going to start, taking up some classes there and learning Krav Maga and Muay Thai and maybe getting his butt kicked a little bit.
Stop by and look in the window and watch Jason kick my rear end.
They have a full boxing ring there. It's amazing, right?
It's super cool. Yeah.
I stopped there yesterday and talked to Abby and Brennan, the owners. And they're really excited. They've been doing this for a while, but branched out, started their own business. And that's what the show is all about. Like highlighting these local businesses, putting a voice to them, lifting them up a little bit, and helping them tell their stories.
I'm as excited about that program as I am about the Packer program, because you, unlike some people that host programs like this, you actually live it and believe it. You were associated with a lot of these groups, nonprofits, in promoting local small business before you came here. And so this isn't just somebody that was plopped in a host chair. You know these folks. And it's really about, so many people, buy local. This is a program where you get to know people and you can actually find out why you need to buy local.
Yeah, and I think the big part of the show, I tell every guest that's on, is I want to help you tell what you're about, why you do it, why you're passionate about it, and, you know, how it connects to the community. Because those are the things I think that people remember. And those are the things that help people make those decisions to go to a local place rather than just going to the big box that you see.
If you don't live or out of range of a radio station of one of our civic media networks, and really as we keep on adding, you won't be soon. But if you are, you can stream the program as well, correct?
Absolutely. Let's Get Local streamed on the show's page. And also, we'll be on Facebook, too, and Devil Radio Facebook page. So you can catch it anytime, no matter where you are. And even though, you know, we have a lot of guests kind of connected to the Madison area, the thing I also express is we talk about, hey, all of you have local businesses in your communities, no matter where you are. And so I encourage people to go local wherever you live.
So this week, it's the kickboxing gym below me.
Yeah, Forward Tie Boxing.
Forward Tie Boxing.
And then, who are my other guests? Oh, we're also going to talk with Deborah. She's starting a podcast. She's an educator and a social worker who's starting her own podcast here shortly. And she's going to, you know, try to talk about issues relating to students going into high school, issues in middle school, life lessons. She's been an educator, social worker for 30 years, and she's got a really great personality, and she's going to be on too.
One of the hardest working people at Civic Media, Jason Hafeman. You're doing it all, my friend. Thank you for coming on today.
I want it all, Todd.
Yes, Andrew, you want it now. Jason Hafeman, catch him tomorrow. Packer Outright Opinion 7 to 8 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us. This is the Todd Allball Show. Back after this. Thanks for joining us on the Civic Media Radio Network.